was dating my wife in Florence, in Mayu. And it's always beautiful to come back and to relive that. And we're standing on the cusp of Rosh Chodesh Adar. So I thought it would be appropriate to discuss and to learn together. The topic I chose is Haman, a lesson in utilizing our talents. You hear me in the back, or I choose mic, or you're good? Okay. So let's learn together a Gemara that appears in Maseches Megillah. The Gemara Megillah says, V'chol zayinenu shovel li. Right? And I put in the Mar Mekomos the whole background to the story. We're familiar with the story. Here you have Haman, the most powerful, second most powerful person in the country. A country that we know spawned like almost the entire world. It was a tremendous country, 127 states. Incredibly powerful man, Haman. And as we're taught that Haman had Osher and Rav Banim, and he had fabulous wealth, and he had a wonderful family, and he had everything that you can imagine. And yet, when he walked down the street, and there was this one Jew, Mordechai, who refused to bow down to him, it ate him up inside. He couldn't handle it. It was so, right? He was just so angry. And that's what the pasuk describes. As he went home, and he went to his wife in Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'chol zeh enenu shov ali. All of this wealth, all of this honor, it doesn't do it for me. V'chol eis asher ani ro'as Mordechai Yehudi yoshev b'shar hamelach. Whenever I walk outside and there I am with Mordechai and he's sitting and he's showing me he's no respect, can't handle it. Really upset. And we know the story how he was advised to build the Eitz Gavoach HaMishav Amma, and we know again the entire story. The Gemara says the following, V'chol zeh einenu shov ali melamed shekol ginazav shel oso rasha, all of his wealth chakukin aliba, was inscribed on his heart. And when he saw Mordechai sitting at the gate, the king, Omar, call Zayin and Ushavali. All this wealth has no meaning to me. What exactly is the drasha? Says the Marasha in a quick line. What does Zay mean? Zay, he says, means this. Says the Marasha, there's something that you can point to. Zeh, we said Zeh Keli Van Veyu, we're taught that we said Zeh, we pointed to Hashem. So what is V'chol Zeh? Says the Marasha, Zeh means that he was pointed to something, and that was the money around his chest. That's what the Marasha writes. The Mefarshim explain that what does it mean that Haman had his wealth around his chest? What does that mean? So, it's hard to understand literally. Maybe it means he kept his bank statements, his mutual fund statements, maybe his ETS, whatever it is that showed his wealth, maybe that's what it means. However, the Torah Tzmima, maybe others explain, that it's a metaphor, symbolic of what was on Haman's mind. What was on his heart? On Haman's heart was his wealth, his money, his fortune. It was always there, engraved, Chakuk Aliba. It was literally engraved in his heart, as the Gemara says, Chakukin Aliba. So what is this idea? So, if you look, there's a beautiful Yalkut Shimoni, which we have here on the first page, where the Yalkut Shimoni says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's in bold, Chaviv Alai Shemosan Shel Shvatim, how cherished are the names of the Shvatim, HaChakukin Aliba, that are engraved on the heart of Aharon. And as we know, Aharon, Aaron the Kohen Gadol always had the names of the Bnei Yisrael on his chest. Where was on his chest? Well, he wore the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate, which had all the names of Bnei Yisrael on his Choshen. Note that the language that we find in the Medrash is very similar to the same language we have in the Gemara describing Haman. Haman, what was Chakuk al-Liba? What was Chakuk al-Liba was his wealth. Aaron the Kohen Gadol. What was Chakuk al-Liba? It was the names of the Jewish people. And in fact, this idea is not just a Medrash. It seems to be a pasuk, almost explicit, where it says, "V'nasa Aharon es shemos b'nei Yisrael b'choshen ha-mishpat al-liba." It was on his heart. He carried the names, the shemos b'nei Yisrael, on his heart. I'd like to bring this point and explain it a little bit deeper. What Chazal are teaching is that Haman had a tremendous ability to focus on what was important to him. And what was important to Haman? It was his wealth. It was his fortune. It was what he could amass in this world. That was important. And he was never Masiach Das. He never lost track. He never lost focus on this important goal, which was to amass his fortune. That was Haman. Similarly, but to contrast, the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol was focused on the Bnei Yisrael. If you know, Haman was the second in command. Haman was the second in command, second to the king. Similarly, the Kohen Gadol was second in command, second to the king. Both of them had tremendous power and influence. And yet, the way they utilized that was totally different. Haman used it to amass his fortune, to focus on his wealth. And we know that the Kohen Gadol used it to focus on the people. That is a tremendously important difference. The difference between a leader who uses his powers to help those and those leaders who use their powers to help themselves. There's a Gemara on the next page. It's a famous Gemara talking about the Churban. And it gives all sorts of interesting things. One line in that Gemara, which is bolded here, is a Gemara that says, "Nivnei banav shel Haman lamdu Torah b'bnei brak." Haman's grandchildren learned Torah in Bnei Brak. What does that mean? Haman's grandchildren? What's the message? What's going on here? The Maharal explains the following. The Maharal explains the message of the Gemara is to say that Haman was a tremendously gifted person. He had great talent. He was smart. He was ambitious. He was someone who obviously knew how to control the crowd. He knew how to speak to people, to be influential on others, on Achashverosh, and others around him. Haman was just an amazing person in his talent. That was Haman. And yet, what did he do with that talent? He used it to get his own fame, to pursue his own fortune. That same talent, says the Maharal, was given over to Haman's grandchildren. The DNA of Haman was strong. His grandchildren had the same talent, and look what they did. They studied Torah. They became Jewish. They studied Torah in Bnei Brak. And the message, the Maharal says, is really the theme of Purim. B'nahafochu means that we can take something and we can take it, it could be bad, but we could turn it around and make it good. B'nahafochu, Haman's grandchildren turned that gift and talent, which was used for evil, and made it something good. And that's something that has been done over and over again throughout history. We know some of the greatest talented people have used their talent for bad. Just to throw out a name, Hitler was a crazy talented person, but he used it to destroy the world. Maybe today we would say Putin would be someone who's using his talent. He's supposed to be a very smart person, and he's destroying the world. And I guess the modern day, I don't know if we can say the modern day Mordechai, maybe the president of the Ukraine, is someone who is using his talent for good. Everyone has talent. The question is, how do we use the talent? Do we use it to perfect the world or to destroy the world? That is B'nai Hafafu. B'nai Bamav Shel Haman Lamdu Torah B'bnei Brak. His grandchildren learned Torah in B'nai Brak. In truth, this is not just about our leaders. This is about ourselves too. Every one of us is an Adam. We're called Adam Atem, as the Navi writes, that we're Adam. We are called humans, Adam. What is the Shoresh? What is that word Adam? Where does it come from? What does the word Adam come? Where is it from? Why are we given the name? Anyone know? Why are we given the name Adam? The answer is because the Torah describes that we were taken from the Adama. Because we were taken from the Adama, we were called Adam. Adam. The Navi also says that describing us as the Jewish people, Adam el Aliyah. The Navi describes the Jewish people in the language of Adam el Aliyah, and there are those who comment and say that the name Adam comes from the pasuk Adam el Aliyah. What does that mean? It means I want to be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be doma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adam means to be doma, Adam el Aliyah. And when you think about the two ways to earn your name Adam, one is to be lowly and earthly. To take your kochos and to remain a very earthly person. And yet, that same person who has those same gifts and talents can turn that and utilize those talents to be Adam el Aliyah. To be mahapech, v'nahafofu. To take those talents, to turn them around, and to focus on Elyon and not on Adama. That is really the same idea, the same message of B'nai Hafafu, the difference between Haman, the difference between the Kohen Gadol. We're taught, the Gemara teaches, teaching yeshiva in the boys' school, hopefully it's not as popular here, but it's a very popular song with the boys. Chayiv inish levesume bipuraya. What does that mean? You have to get drunk on Purim, ad delo yada, right? And we know the end, until you don't know the difference between, you know, Baruch, between Har Haman and Baruch Mordechai, we just don't know the difference. So there are people who take that very literally. I hope most of us don't take that literally. But there are people who take that very literally, and they'll like drink a lot of wine, and they'll be completely drunk, and they won't know the difference between Haman and Mordechai. Right? That is the simple pshat. There is another pshat here that I want to share with you, and that is the following: the truth is, Haman, Mordechai, they really are the same. And that sounds like a shocking statement to say. Haman, Mordechai, they really are the same. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that Haman, we know, was tremendously talented. Right? We know that. We also know that Mordechai was tremendously talented. He had a command of 70 languages, obviously very brilliant. We know he was a statesman from the end of the Megillah. He was a diplomat. He was a politician, right? Even at the end, maybe he was somewhat criticized, right? That he was a statesman. Haman, Mordechai, they had the same talent. They had the same talent. What happened? Haman got confused. He got lost along the way. And use those talents for the evil, for negative. Mordechai was able to take those talents that he had, Hashem's gifts that he was given, and to turn them and to create this tremendous person named Mordechai. The avoda of Purim, the message of Purim of Adlo Yada, is to get to the point where even if a person thinks that he is like Ar Hama, that he is someone who's, you know, whose life's not going well, he's doing bad, is to see past that, to see his talents, to see his blessings, to see his goodness, and to recognize that his talents are equal and on par to the talents of Mordechai, Hatzadik. And that the message of Purim is the message of Bnei Avihu to realize that we could do it, that we could be that person. And we have to get to the point in our consciousness, Ad lo yada, it doesn't matter maybe what you've done till now, you could take that great talent and turn it around. And we've seen that. We've seen that in Jewish history. One story that comes to mind is the story of Rish Lakish. We know the story the Gemara teaches of Rish Lakish. He was like the number one ganav. And the guy he was the best thief out there. He was strong, he was confident. He knew how to get the job done. And we know the famous story that he met Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan, you know, saw he was incredibly talented and gifted and said, okay, just get your life together, marry my sister. And he ended up turning into Rish Lakish, one of the most incredible Amoraim out there. That was the point of Ad lo yada, of Vinahafaku, where Rish Lakish finally understood his talent and used it for the right reasons. And Rish Hashem, you know, as you go through life, you'll have opportunities to meet people. And even now, if you've gone through, you know, if you think back to high school, elementary school, even high school, think back to high school. So, you know, again, maybe in boys' high schools it's different. Sometimes you'll see a boys' high school, and there's a guy in school who's just like, he's just like ridiculous. He's doing the craziest things. And often those guys, when they figure themselves out, when they go to, they learn, they turn themselves around, those are the best guys because they have the greatest talent. It's just how you channel it. Vinahafahu, to turn that around, to take a Haman and turn him around into a Mordechai. And that's really the yesod of this Purim story. What happened? Right? Kipil Pur. Right? Haman does this lottery. It falls out in the month of Adar. Right? And he's all excited. It's the month that Moshe Rabbeinu dies. Zayin Adar, we know. It's a time where there's misfortune, there's calamity. And Haman is excited. And what he doesn't realize is this yesod, that Adar may have been a bad month, but we have the ability to change things around. In the Hafachu, we can change things around. And that's exactly what we've done. We've changed things around. And we made Adar from a bad month into the happiest month in our calendar. Now Adar is a month of fortune, to the point where the Gemara says, if you have a court case, do it in the month of Adar. That is Vinahafahu. That is the lesson of Vinahafahu. There's an incredible, incredible idea that is shared in the Imre Emes. The Imre Emes is a source from one of the Rebbes of Ger. And the Imre Emes says the following. Look inside, and we'll read it in two parts. Let's read the first part. Says the Imre Emes, Vatasam Estes Mordechai al Beis Haman, Heimotziu kol nitzotos ha-kedusha miklipas Haman. They took these nitzotos of kedusha from Haman. And he explains, Issa, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and as well in Gittin, Mibnei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Sora Bibnei Bra, V'Issa B'Ein Yaakov. And this is a comment that we don't have in our Gemaras, but the Ein Yaakov, which was a very popular commentary on Medrash and on Agadata, the Ein Yaakov says, Umanu Who was this grandson of Haman? Who was he? Says the Imre Emes, quoting the Ein Yaakov, it was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. That sounds very insignificant. Okay, there are many great tzaddikim, many great amoraim. Why is this person significant, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat? I would like to share with you an incredible idea. Who was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat? If you look at the Gemara, there's a Gemara, let's first see the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra on Daf Chesel Nebeis. I'm sorry. Let's look at that. We'll skip one source. The Gemara says, on Daf Chesel Nebeis, who was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat? It's a very beautiful Gemara. The Gemara is discussing what it means to be a Talmud Chacham, a Rebbe, a Mechanechet. The Gemara says, Matzdike Harabim, Kechochavim Lo'olam Va'ed. The people who shine like stars are those who are Matzdike Harabim. They do good for the public. Kegon Man. Who is this? Who is an example of this? Amar Rav. Rav said, Kegon Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. An example of this is Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, the same Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat that we're taught was the grandson of Haman. But the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, how do we know that Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat was of this caliber? The Rav Aschil Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat Abekoy Beginsa. Rav met Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat in the garden. Omar Lai, he says to Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, Shafkasei Lehemunusuch, have you given up your profession? Meaning, what are you doing just like hanging around in the garden? Like, what's going on? What's happening here? Why are you just hanging around in the garden? So look at the answer of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Omar Lai, so Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat explains and said back to Rav, Hotleisa Shnin, the last 13 years, Delo Chazuli, I haven't seen some of my Talmidim. And now, 13 years later, you know what I'm doing now in my garden? I'm thinking about my Talmidim. The concern I have for my Talmidim is still with me 13 years later. That's what Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat said, the same Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat that we said was the grandson of Haman, is now approached by, you know, this great Rav, and he says, what are you doing? What are you standing here, just seem to be tuned out and zoned out? And he says, no, I'm thinking about my Talmidim from 13 years ago. That's what the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. What an unbelievable Gemara in its own right. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. Think, though, the lesson that I want to bring out is really, really very powerful. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat was the grandson of Haman. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat inherited Haman's traits, inherited Haman's gifts. What was Haman doing all the time? What was his power? Haman had this gift, had this power, where he could just really like focus, you know, like tunnel vision. There are people who have this knack. They lock on to something. They want to get something done, a project. They want to do something. And they could just lock on and latch on and just like block everything else out and just focus on what they want to get done. There are people who have that gift. Those are people who probably are high up in government. They get things done and they do it well. Haman had that gift. Haman had the ability just to focus on like amassing his fortune, on working up the chain. And what did his grandson have? Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat had that same gift. And what did he do? He was thinking constantly. Chakuk Aliba, as we began, it was on his heart the whole time. His students, his Talmidim. That's what he was thinking. It's taking that gift that he was given and utilizing it for the good. That was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. He took the gifts of his grandfather, Haman, and he used it to focus on teaching Torah and on his Talmidim. 13 years later, that's what he was doing. What's also remarkable is that this same Rav Shmuel Bar Shila is quoted in the Gemara in front of you, Maseches Tanis, on Chav Tes Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, "Mishenichnas Av Mematim B'Simcha Amar Yudah Braid the Rav Shmuel Bar Shila." So now, this is the next generation. This is not Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, who was his son. We'll say it's the great-grandson of Haman. What did he say? He said, in the name of Rav, Kishem Shemishenichnas Abin Ma'atim B'Simcha. Kach Mishenichnas Adam. Marbin B'Simcha. Rabosa, hear the words of the Gemara. It was Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas' son, the great-grandson of Haman, who turned the things around. Lamdu Torah ben Bnei Brak, what did he say? He said, you know, Haman, my great-grandfather, was the one who thought that this month of Adar was a time of misfortune. And I said, that Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin B'Simcha. I say, we could turn that month into the happiest month of the year. That was the descendant of Haman, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas' son. What an incredible, incredible idea. What an incredible idea. But it doesn't end with just that. I want to go back to the Imrei Emes. Look at this Imrei Emes. And the Imrei Emes is something which I think is really the Yesod HaDvarim and brings us together. The Imrei Emes, going back up to the Imrei Emes on the second line, towards the end, says the Imrei Emes, Issa Meha Ariza. He quotes the Ariza, the Shilas, the name Shilat, Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, that name Shilat, who Rashi Tevos is an acronym, is a Rashi Tevos for Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. I think there's a popular name. It's not popular, it's certainly a name out there in Israel where they call their children Shilat. Anyone know a Shilat? Is it a girl's name, a Hebrew, or a boy's name? Not even sure. But I think it's a name out there. And according to the Ariza, the name Shilat is Rashi Tevos, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. And if you think about that, what is that pasuk saying? Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi. And I want to focus on the last word, Tamid. 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 Rav Shmuel Bar Shila was someone who had this uncanny ability of Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, to be focused always, not just on his Talmidim, on his learning, but on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. Tunnel vision, using that ability, using that talent for not just the good, for the great. To always be focused on Hashem, not on advancing his career, not on getting more rich, not on getting more powerful. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet. That is the lesson of Shilat of this Gemara. I'm going to share with you a story. If this story happened, I don't know. But it's a story that they say happened, and at least it's as good as a legend, even if it didn't. The story goes, there was a king, a Jewish king. And this Jewish king had a daughter, a very gifted daughter. Very, very, very talented person. And it was time for this girl to get married. So he lines up, like, you know, one prince, you know, they go out, and it doesn't work. And he lines up another prince, and they go out, and it doesn't work. And we know how frustrating it could be, you know, dating, and it doesn't work, and this girl is getting frustrated. And like this is going on and on, and she just can't seem to find the right person because she was very talented, very gifted, wonderful person, great readers. And the king just, you know, he didn't know what to do. One day he's in his office and he gets a knock. He's like, come in. And it's the chimney sweeper. And the chimney sweeper says, I apologize, king. I was told that in this room the chimney is not operating at 100%. So much apologize. Would you mind if I spent a few minutes working on your chimney? Cleaning it out, sweeping it out. I promise it won't be too long. And he does his job, and he does it with, you know, tremendous, you know, he puts his strength, all his strength into the job. He has, you know, great character and midos, and he's refined, a wonderful person, but he's a chimney sweep. So the king thinks to himself, wow, these midos, this is exactly what I need for my daughter. This is what my daughter would like. And he's scratching, he said, he's like, but this is a chimney sweep. He tells the foreman in his palace, listen, if there's ever a job that needs to be done, have this fellow come back. I want to get to know him more. And this happens again and again. And after a while, he's like, okay, we're going to have to figure this out. And he approaches his daughter and he says, my daughter, listen, nothing's been working out for you. It doesn't seem to be working out with the princes. I have this incredible person. And I tell you, this is the person you're looking for, except he's a chimney sweeper. Would you go out with him? King thinks that she'd probably say, no way. And even if they went out, it's just a no-go. But listen, he's trying his best. The girl says, yeah, I'll go out with him. And as you would have, they go out and they get engaged. They're meant to get married in the next few months. And all of a sudden, one of the previous princes who dated this girl is really, really upset. Jealous, angry, upset. Walks over. Comes over to this chimney sweep. He says, listen, I gotta talk to you. He says, I gotta tell you something. You know this idea, this marriage coming up? You don't understand. It's scheduled for Rosh Chodesh Adar tonight for us. And this is the king's way of like Adar shtick. This is the Purim spiel of the century. And guess what? You are the butt of the joke. So they're going to get there and there's going to be this whole wedding and you're going to get to the chuppah and then there's going to be like this crazy thing and then there's, you know, they're going to go crazy and it's going to be, everyone's going to have like this great time and the king and the daughter is going to be laughing and jeering and it's going to be hysterical. Just giving you a heads up. The guy, the chimney sweep, thinks to himself, he's like, you know what? He has a point. I'm a chimney sweep. This makes no sense. And on the day of the wedding, he slips a note to be given to the woman he was supposed to marry. And he says, dear so-and-so, I can't handle being the butt of this joke. I won't be able to live it down. And therefore, I'm running away. And he never came back. And that's the end of the story. The message of the story. That all of us, on some level, are doing that. The message is all of us are that prince. All of us are that type of person with incredible talent. Tremendous gifts. Sometimes we don't believe that we could take those gifts and become the Mordechais and to become the Esthers, and we run away from ourselves and we let the course sort of run. And unfortunately, many all of us, on some level, are afraid to step into those shoes, to become that prince and princess, and to be the great person that we can be, to utilize those talents this chimney sweep had, not just to sweep chimneys, but to lead a country, to be a great person. That's a story of Purim, of people poor, of Vinahafohu. I could be a chimney sweep. I could be a good chimney sweep. And I could use those talents and also be another incredible person, a leader, a prince. That's the message. That's the message of this story. That's the message of Purim. It's interesting that we read in the Maos Sur, put it down in front of you, I'm sure you're familiar with this Pia, the Maos Sur. For those who don't realize, Maos Sur is not just about Hanukkah. There's very little bit about Hanukkah. Right? Maos Sur is really about all the Yom Tovim throughout the year. Right? So, for that reason, when you read through Maos Sur, you find the paragraph about Purim. And that's this paragraph of Kros Komas Barosh Bikesh Agagi Ben Amdasa. So, you know, this person, Agagi Ben Amdasa, is a reference to Haman, who rose up and he decided to try to eliminate us. V'niya Salo L'fach L'mokesh. And it turned out to be for him a ensnarement. V'gavaso Nishbasa, and his pride was dashed, was destroyed. Rosh Yiminini Nisesa. Right? We sing this. What does that mean? Rosh Yiminini Nisesa means the head of the Yeminites, of the Benjaminites. That was Mordechai, who came from Shevet Binyamin, rose up, ve'oye shmo machisa, and wiped out your enemies. Rov banav, okay, here's the line, the majority of his sons, ve'kinyana, and his acquisitions, al ha'etz talisa, were hung on the gallows. And the question is, what does that statement even mean? Rov banav, Vikinyana. Most of his sons were hung on the gallows, right? We know it was 10. That itself there are issues with, because the Gemara teaches that Haman had over 200 children. So how to translate Rov Banav is one question. Some say it means like the main 10 children of Haman were hung on the gallows. And then Vikinyana. And then his Kinyana. And what does that even mean? That his Kinyana were hung on the gallows. Very strange pisma. The Mefarshim say that that's exactly what we saw earlier. Haman, when he was hung, what was on his chest? What was on his chest was either literally the star, the chakuk alibo, the genazav, his wealth, or figuratively, when he went down, he was going down with his wealth. That's all he stood for. Haman, his life was about fame and wealth. And when he went down, when he was hung, it was him being hung with his wealth. And that's the message for all of us. As we contemplate tonight Rosh Chodesh Adar, as we contemplate tonight what we can do and what we can accomplish, we should think big. We should think that we can do this. As was taught from Haman, in how to utilize our talents. We can think small. We can think, oh, I could use my talents. Maybe I can be, I don't know, A, B, or C. But think big. Think very big. Think of becoming the next Esther, the next Mordechai, where we can take those same talents and turn ourselves around to be leaders of our people. To be like Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, who took those talents and instead of doing it Haman's way, he did it his way. He held those same talents in great esteem but he did it with a different, total different flavor. He thought about his students. He thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the lesson for all of us. So, Emetz Hashem, this Adar tonight, and Emetz Hashem, this Purim, and going forward, bless you and myself and all of us, that we should utilize our talents for the good. I want to wish you a good Rosh Chodesh and a Chag Sameach, a good Purim. Thank you for coming.